Running down dogma with his karma. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
Are you going to play David Bowie all day?
Yes, I am. Ground control to the tin.
Well, Alan Rickman
That song has been ruined for me by Colonel, what's his name, space guy, Canadian, who sang in space. Yeah, Chris Hadfield. Yeah. Anyway. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Drew.
Well, it's a strange and wild and wonderful woolly show we have for you today.
Woolly show?
I was looking at your legs earlier. Zach Bronstein and Sam Wrigglesworth. Sounds like a couple of lawyers.
Yes.
But they're not. So what makes you, you? Zach Bronstein and Sam Wrigglesworth are traveling across the country asking the question, what lies at the core of who you are? In Sanskrit, Shraddha. Now, let's just stop there for a second, okay? Let's get them on the phone. Zach, Sam, are you guys both there?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So I know I'm probably not pronouncing the Sanskrit word right, but we have been sort of joking about the fact that Shraddha sounds like a guitar player who's just reeling on the guitar. He's a great Shraddha. Or maybe an Australian guitar player, rock and roll guitar. How do you pronounce the word?
Shraddha.
Shraddha. So you have to put the H in there for sure, right?
Yep.
Okay. In Sanskrit, Shraddha means that which is placed in the heart. It consists of the things we trust in without reservation. So, Tim, you are not in that category. I don't trust you. The convictions that color our perception, the structural beliefs out of which our own self-identities are formed. Unquestionable and unassailable, these are the rocks upon which the rest of our lives are built. That sounds like a soap opera intro. As they make their way across the U.S., they want to know this question. What is the cornerstone that holds yourself together? The website is searching for Shraddha, Shraddha.com. Guys, I'm going down to the Hare Krishna Temple tonight in Toronto, and I'm going to ask them about that word to see if you guys are telling me the truth. Okay?
Fantastic. We actually spoke to a couple of folks at Hare Krishna Temples on this trip so far, and it was great to hear their perspective.
So, who are you two? Sam, you're apparently a photographer. True story?
Yeah, true story.
Kind of a big deal? People know you? You're making money?
I don't know if I'd say a big deal, but...
How did your story get picked up by HuffPost, Zach?
You know, when we had first started the project, I was talking to their then head editor of the religion section.
Was that Paul?
It was Paul. And I had posed the project to him, and he really liked the idea. We were just starting off, so he said, hey, get back to me in a couple months. And so...
And lo and behold, Paul's no longer there.
No longer there. I sent an email back saying, like, cool, all right, we're there. We've got these things on the site. Let's do it. And I got one of those, you know, the email you've sent out to doesn't exist. So that was one of those moments where your heart sinks a little bit. But I reached out to Antonia Bloomberg, who's one of the associate editors over at the religion section now, and she loved the idea, and we had a phone chat. We spoke for about an hour and ended up on a different internet website.
Yeah. So if I understand things right, according to stuff I've read, you guys both, I don't know, what, stopped working and started hitchhiking around? Like, how are you doing this? How are you, first of all, how are you supporting yourself? Did you not leave your jobs? In order to do, I mean, you can't be traveling around America and, you know, go work at the factory every day too, right? So what are you doing?
We actually live out of a Prius, so our living expenses are quite low. But yeah, we're basically living off of our savings.
Hold on. You live out of a Prius?
That's right.
Are you little people?
It's actually kind of comfortable. The back seat folds flat and we can fully extend when we sleep.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't. I couldn't do that.
No,
I'm 6'4", 240. I wouldn't be doing that.
I don't think there's room for you in the car as well.
No, I'd be under the car. So, okay, so you're living out of a Prius. You're driving around. What you're saying is your expenses are low, but you still have to eat. So how do you pay for stuff?
We've been saving up. I spent the last year working as a garden educator at a preschool in Brooklyn, and, you know, Brooklyn can be very expensive if you're going out every night, but I spend a lot of my evenings either at home or kind of doing the free events, and yeah. So I was able to save up enough to fund the trip.
Okay, so the idea is to go around and interview people, special people and random people, all people. And do you have a set of questions that you ask, the same set of questions?
Yeah, you know what? The basic pitch is exactly the same for every interview,
right.
Which is exciting for me because we always start at the same place, but then each individual takes it in the direction that really resonates with them, and so we cover all sorts of ground.
Would you say that how many interviews have you done? I know at the time we printed this or wrote this stuff down, it said 62 interviews. Are you still at 62?
Yeah, we're still at 62.
So that was a couple of days ago. What have you guys been doing? Just like kissing in the Prius? Like, come on, get out there.
So right now we are at my folks' place in New York. And so we kind of lucked out. Sam's family is in Portland. Mine is in New York. And so we've kind of got a home base on either side.
Nice. So you do one trip across the country, have a shower, then go across the country again.
You're not too far off the point there. Showers have been in short supply.
It's the leg hair that worries me.
Maybe that's funny.
I'm talking about you, Zach. So the absolute best, most classic, most memorable interview for you, Sam, because I'm sure they might be different, so I'll just start with you, Sam. What's the number one standout interview for you so far?
Wow. Number one standout. I think one of my favorite ones was this man named Giuseppe, and he was living out of a bus, and he was serving free tea.
He's living out of a bus. He's serving free tea, and his name's—it's not Giuseppe; it's Giuseppe.
It's Giuseppe. Sorry, I misspoke.
Oh, okay. So Giuseppe is living out of a bus. He's serving free tea. I don't know if I'd go. Would you go drink free tea from a guy living out of a bus?
As long as it's not by the river.
Really? and how did you find him?
Zach's uncle actually pointed us to his direction.
Yeah, we were up in Maine, and there's the Maine Organic Farming Festival that takes place every year up there.
Oh, MOF, yep.
MOFCA, yeah. And so we were up there. My uncle does solar installation, and so we went to say hi to him, and he's like, hey, at the campsite last night, there was this super funky dude. He's really into sustainable agriculture, and he drives around in this refitted old school bus, and you guys gotta hit him up. And so a couple days later in Portland, we stopped by while he was serving tea in the middle of the monthly art walk in Portland, and we sat down with him. And it was funny because throughout the interview, people would kind of just come on the bus, and he'd pause the interview, he'd make them a cup of tea, people would chat, they'd share stories. Yeah, really, really cool project.
Wow. So is the idea to kind of, like, track down weird people and ask them these questions, or is it...
Because you're on the right show.
Yeah. No, let me go back to this, Sam, just for a second. What was it about this guy, aside from the fact he's living in a bus serving tea, what was about his answers to your questions that made it a standout interview for you?
I think just how community-based it was. So it's very, you know, he's moving away from modern commerce. He's not charging people for tea. He's living on, you know, his engine runs on used cooking oil. And he's very sustainable, and basically the community helps him, and he helps the community, and he's able to get by, which I thought was, you know, crazy in this day and age, in this country especially.
What Zach, do you remember any of his answers? His story?
Sure, I actually was just transcribing the interview the other day, so it's super fresh. Yeah, you know, with Giuseppe, we started with this conversation about the work he's doing. And when I do these interviews, my goal is to always kind of go a little deeper. It's kind of to say, all right, sweet, let me make sure I understand what you've just told me. All right, what's beneath that? you know, we're looking for these interviews at what's at the core. And so, you know, we started off in that interview talking about the work that he does and the way he views the culture and some of the issues he sees and why community is important. And we ended up going into his feeling of intuition and his innate sense when something is right and something is wrong, and the feeling he gets when he does something that you know, deep down inside he feels is right, and the kind of almost patting on the back that you get from yourself from this deep intuition versus that feeling you get when you do something that you know isn't quite right, and that bit of shame, that bit of guilt that really rises up. It's not a cognitive thing. It kind of takes place at a base level. And so we ended up talking for a while on that level and kind of discussing where does that come from? Is there a source that is universal? Does everyone experience these same things? Is it different for each person? That's kind of where the conversation led.
Yes, Tim.
Well, sorry, I had a question to ask.
I'm trying to do an interview here, if you don't mind.
Well, I was, you know, as I'm looking at the one question
it's called
that's
the
been,
Drew Marshall
that's
show.
Been highlighted, what is the cornerstone that
it's
holds yourself
name.
Together?
Tim.
My guess is people have lost some of those cornerstones as you've been, you know, before you've interviewed them. I mean, there must be some really, you know, heartstring-pulling answers that you've received. Have there been any?
You know...
No.
Yes. I'm thinking about two interviews in particular that were difficult. One woman opened up immediately with this major trauma that she had touched upon, that she had experienced at a very young age. And, you know, was like, yeah, you know, this is a thing that I experienced. It comes around and around. And so we kind of spoke for a little bit about that, and the conversation started to move around these different experiences. And what was great and what I kind of see as you know, we were talking about Giuseppe and his idea of kind of communal giving, you know, with these interviews, you know, Sam and I, Sam's taking the pictures, I'm recording these interviews, we're publishing on our website, so we're definitely taking here. And one of the things that we found almost consistently that we're giving is a space for people to sort of reflect. And as this woman, for example, was talking, you know, she was great. She went right to the heart of it, started talking about this deeper sense of peace and light and how this, you know, the traumas that one experiences in one's life can obfuscate that light, can kind of put a dark glass in between it, right? But as we were talking, she seemed to connect more and more with the thing that was beneath the trauma.
Let me just ask, the point of this is to what, put a book together?
There's like 3 points, I'd say.
Well, don't scare me with 3 whole points.
Three, oh gosh. Gotta take the fingers out for this one. You know, at the end of the day, I would like to write a nonfiction book, and Sam would make a photo book out of it. We've got the website, and I'm looking forward to writing some articles for the Huffington Post, kind of detailing more aspects of each of the interviews, adding a little bit of my analysis. And then there's the experience itself. Sam and I are getting to see the country. We're getting to meet all sorts of really fascinating and interesting people and have these really personal and heartfelt conversations.
Okay, I want to ask you this question, guys, because I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I was, Tim,
yes.
You and I have met people who have had so much bad stuff happen to them that you've got to look at them and go, what is your deal? You're a lightning rod for you know, bad karma.
Yeah, and how are you still here? That's the other half of
exactly.
the question, too.
But then this person said to me, well, you know, it's the energy. It's bad energy, you know. They're it's almost like self-fulfilling prophecies. You know, this person, they kind of are bringing it on themselves. And I thought, oh, good. Let's talk about this energy thing. Because, you know, in the Jesus world, we're always talking about God. And so, okay, do we blame God for all this bad stuff? Do we blame Satan for this bad stuff? So when you're not in the Jesus world, what terms do you use? Well, energy comes around a lot. So what is that? What is this energy that seems to have influence and purpose and patterns and destinations and positive energy and negative. Guys, can you explain this energy? I mean, come on, you're living in a Prius. You should be able to explain this.
Certainly have the energy efficient vehicle.
Yes.
One of the reasons I am so drawn to these kind of conversations is because, to a degree, we're talking about the nature of reality. And for me, that's something very exciting, and that feels very powerful. And so when one is talking about that kind of circumstance, it's so hard to come up with anything that you can say without a doubt is this is the absolute total truth. I mean, you look at physics, right? We're learning new things about the universe on a physical, like we can feel it, we can touch it, we can pick it up, we can take pictures of it. We're learning new things every day. So especially when we're talking about metaphysics, for me, it's always important, especially in these conversations when I'm asking for people to share their own, to take everybody's story where they're sharing it and where they're at. So I guess my first response would be, I don't know necessarily, if you were to ask me about my metaphysics, I don't know if energy is the first word that I'd use.
Right. Well, that leads me to this next question. Sam, let's go to you on this. Do you come from a faith, spiritual, religious, I don't know, churchy, synagogue-y background? Synagogue-y.
No,
that's a good name for a punk band. Synagogue-y. So none, you have no religious-y stuff in your background at all, Sam?
No, not at all. I think for me, this is definitely more, the terms for me changed, but I think it's really kind of the same. More of an exploration of kind of what makes a person who they are. Like, how do you define yourself? You know, is it your environment? Is it your experience that accumulates? Is it your view? Can you manipulate it? So that's really what drew me to the project, and that's kind of how my lens works towards it.
Well, with the name Zach Bronstein, you got to have something there in your background, don't you, Zach?
Yeah, I'm actually grew up in a Catholic hat. No, I'm joking.
You had me. We both shook our heads and looked at each other.
What?
No, Zachary Bronstein Zachariah was my Jewish given name. But I didn't grow up in a particularly religious family. The term you'll often hear, especially in the U.S., is a cultural Jew.
Right, or Jewish.
Jewish. So I went to Hebrew school. I had bar mitzvah, but I'll tell you what, in Hebrew school, I wasn't really listening to what was being said, but I did enjoy opening up the Old Testament and reading the stories. I loved the stories. I've loved the stories in the New Testament. I've read, the Bhagavad Gita, where we got this term Shraddha for the project. I've always been drawn to a lot of the questions that I think are, in my interpretation, at the heart of many religions. But
right. But
as far as religion itself, I've never found myself able to give myself to that.
Okay, so why are you doing this? Seriously, is it the fact that you're basically hippies, and instead of hitchhiking, you're driving around in a Prius because it's costs you the same amount of money as hitchhiking, and you just want to find yourself, spend some time with each other, and not shave your legs? Like, what is really going on? What's the purpose of this?
Sure. So this is a project that I've been dreaming about for about 5 years now. It's been marinating for a while, And I want to say at the heart of it is kind of my own metaphysical or spiritual journey. There have been things and experiences I've had that have led me to some strong intuitions and things where I can look at it and say there's something here. But it's kind of bifurcated. It's not something that's with me all the time. And when I sit and I kind of look at it, there's this duality in me. I'd say if you were to say, Zach, what religion do you relate with the most right now? It would either be Taoism or Buddhism. And in Buddhism, they have this term of non-duality. It is not either or. I've had experiences that touch on that, but then in my day-to-day life, I don't experience it. And what I found myself kind of lacking was, in the normal day-to-day moments, the faith that those experiences did occur, and they were as real as they felt. And you look at a lot of people who have had these major awakening experiences, have had these, you know, powerful communions with God or whatever term you'd like to use, and a very common thing at the heart of it is this strong belief, the strong faith that allows them to kind of enter into that experience. And so I've always been curious about faith with this project. You know, I kept putting it off in part because you ask someone, what is your faith? You know, if I say, what's your faith? What are you going to respond with?
Are you asking me?
Sure. You know,
yeah, I'm a red letter agnostic theist.
So right. We've got a lot of, you know, ists in there. I'm a Christian. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Jew. I'm a Buddhist. Which might be someone's answer to the question I really want to ask, which is, what is at the heart? What is that thing that you know without a doubt to be true? But the word faith just had too much linguistic baggage behind it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you. I want to go to Sam on this first. Sam, what is the thing at the center of your being that if you woke up without, you would be a totally different person living a different life, and you can't say camera?
I can't say camera?
Nope.
I can't go easy one?
Nope.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, you're putting me in the hot seat a little early. I have no clue, honestly. You know, if I had to say one thing that makes a person who they are, I'd say continuity, maybe, you know. Remembering who you were 5 years ago, and then that person knows who you were 2 years ago, and you can look at a picture of yourself when you're three and recognize that that's you. But the funny thing about that is that that's not super tangible.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a progression and a story in how do you pinpoint a few things within a story. You know, that's really difficult, and memory can fail you sometimes.
Sure. Well, just especially at our age, right, Tim?
Who?
What? Hello. What? I'm going to ask Tim this question. Tim, what is the thing at the center of your being that if you woke up without, you would be a totally different person living a different life?
Love.
I don't know. That seems too.
No, I think it's
generic.
It's not generic. I think it's the core of my being. If I wasn't able to love and I didn't appreciate love and seek love, then I...
But that's not specific to you. That's everybody.
No, it's not.
What I'm saying.
Trust me, I talk to a lot of people and I think that's something they lack.
Yeah, you know, love has been a answer that has come up multiple times and not as the easy answer, not as the bam, yeah, total love, check it off the list, let's go home. I've had conversations that have gone 2 hours, and after 2 hours talking about all these different topics... The one that we put the period at the end of was like, yeah, there's this feeling of love and it's this physical sensation and I can't say anything more than that.
I don't know. It just seems like the one you're supposed to pick. It's like when you're in Sunday school and they say, which is the right answer? And you put your hand up and say, Jesus. You don't know what they're asking, but if you say Jesus, it's the right answer.
No, and I think my answer, and you know, because obviously, you know, I come, you know, from the point of view of the Christian faith. It's something I've really come to believe in, and it's the idea of, you know, the most important thing is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't have those things going, then things fall apart. That's, to me, what the problem with the world is, and that's why...
All we need is love?
Well, not on a cheesy John Lennon kind of way.
You just called John Lennon cheesy.
Yes,
you're going to hell.
Yes. But the idea that, you know, I converse with people, and they claim to have the love of God or whatever you want to call it in them, but...
And they're jerks?
They're completely ignorant people who will only offer love to their own kind.
Right. Yeah, they have tribal boundaries to their love.
Yes, conditions, and it's unconditional. I think that's the point.
Zach, can I ask you a question?
Shoot.
What is the thing at the center of your being that if you woke up without, you would be a totally different person living a different life? And you can't say love.
And I can't say love. Oh,
or camera. Both are taken.
Yeah, camera and love have been taken.
You know, for me, this has been... I think my understanding of it has been in evolution, and with this project in particular, especially talking to so many different people and seeing some patterns arise that happen to feel true to myself as well, I think has started to really take a stronger shape. But I think one of the big things for me is there's a difference between self with the lowercase s and self with the capital S. And you know, right now I'm entirely operating on hypotheses, but I'm of the belief that the self with the little s is all the things that make us, you know, who we are as an individual. You know, Sam described the experiences that we have and the way they accumulate and the narrative we have of our own lives, the things we like and dislike, our own personal neuroses. And again, it's a suspicion. And I think it may even be something that transcends language. There's a line from the Tao Te Ching that I love. It's how it opens, which is, the Tao is beyond words and beyond understanding. Words may be used to speak of it, but they cannot contain it. And I think for me, that's the capital S self. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's referred to as Atman. In Christianity, sometimes it's referred to as the Christ self. And I think it's something that is universal. I think it's universal in the very literal sense. I think there is no thing that exists that does not contain it. And I think when we live our lives, the issue that we have and the major strife is the discord between the lowercase s, or lowercase s, the narrative we tell, and the way we view the world, and the discord between that and the capital S.
How about you? Oh, sorry, I thought you were finished there.
Yeah, no, I think for me it's learning and experiencing, and with this project, hearing all the different ways that one can
true.
Can take away the difference between those two and reconcile the little s and the big s self.
Well, I got to say, a lot of what you guys are talking about is hard to grab onto. And so you have got to, I'm assuming you're doing this, initiate these conversations in interesting and unique and adaptable ways, and then disseminate that information and take it all down. And I'm glad you've got Sam there with you as well, Zach, because if you start, you know, if you just did this whole thing with the big syllable words that you've been throwing down at us, I need the scratch and sniff, right? I need pictures. I need to see. I know I do. I need Sam's photography. So, because it was just the philosophizing Prius driving around without the photographer, you know. Okay, well, just before we say goodbye, and let me just give everyone the website again. It's searching for Shraddha, Shraddha.com. Searching for Shraddha. It was the headline story on the HuffPost religion yesterday. Yesterday or the day before? Anyway, a couple days ago. I want to ask you this. When we say goodbye to you, we're going to have a short commercial break, and then I'm going to make random phone calls into the community to different businesses. And I'm going to apologize for bothering them at work, but then I'm going to ask them a couple of questions. Just random phone calls, questions, and I'm going to ask them stuff like, if God exists, what would be the first thing you'd ask him, her, or it, whatever? Which religion makes the most sense to you? Which one scares you the most? What do you guys want me to ask? And don't make me ask that long one that's going to drive me bonkers trying to get around just the definition of things. Give me a short little zippy question you want me to randomly phone people and ask.
All right. At what moments are you most at peace?
Ooh, I like that. Ooh, I might tweak it a little bit, but peace, I like that. Where do you find peace? How about that?
Yeah, that works good.
Where do you find peace? How about you, Sam? What film do you have in your camera?
I was going to say what makes you happy, but maybe that's a little bit too similar.
Which is more important, peace or happiness?
That's a good question.
That's a really good one.
Okay, we're all done. I got my questions. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. I wish you the best. I'm glad the gas price is nice and low for you. How many miles can you get on a tank with a Prius?
Oh,
You know, with the rooftop carrier we've got now, we're averaging 42 miles per gallon.
42 miles per
Holy
gallon?
Holy moly.
Yeah, it used to be 60, something like that.
Why do I have this village? Image of the Flintstones with their legs going underneath them. What was the sound the legs make?
No, it was more like a coconut bongo drum thingy.
Thank you. Thank you. Zach, Sam, I wish you all the best, and let me know when the project is done. We'd love to hear everything at the end, okay?
Fantastic. Drew and Tim, it was a pleasure.
It was with us. We are awesome. Thank you, guys. See ya. Zach Bronstein and Sam Rigglesworth.